Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333. Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here with Kyle Smith, Assistant General Manager of our Atlanta Falcons. It is not normal for us to usually catch up with the Assistant General Manager because Terry normally does all of the press conferences. But I wanted to bring you guys something different and a kind of behind-the-scenes look of some of the things that we do here with the Falcon organization and their mindset on a variety of things, because we always get listeners asking us, Falcon fans coming up to us, you know, asking questions, and we kind of want to get maybe some of the sauce behind the scenes. So, Kyle, thank you for joining us here on the show. I want to just start with a little bit of background, man. I mean, you talked about being in Washington and that experience, and then obviously coming over here. Give us a little bit about yourself being there and the process of what you learned, who you worked with before coming here.
Yeah, so my whole career was in Washington, started there in 2010. Mike Shanahan was the head coach there, was brought in there by Bruce Allen, who was the president at the time. And during my time there, I had a lot of relationships and you know, obviously Raheem, who's here, was there at the time. Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Matt LaFleur. I mean, the list goes on. You know, a lot of really good coaches that have Kevin O'Connell, Bill Callahan, offensive line, Chris Forster, offensive line. So I've been fortunate enough to be around a lot of really good football minds from a coaching perspective and then personnel as well. So that experience there helped, you know, kind of form you into your opinions that you have and team building and all those types of things. And I'm excited to be here.
We normally don't hear about the philosophy of drafting. We just got past the draft. A lot of Falcon fans excited about what we've done in this draft and addressing edge. Can you talk a little bit about that? And, you know, from just a scouting standpoint, I think a lot of football fans think it's maybe Terry and Ra and maybe yourself, and they don't think about the big scope of things with the national scouts and the different guys that are involved in the process. The philosophy, though, going into not only this draft, but just generally speaking, what is that approach here?
Yeah, well, it's always been, you know, I think you've heard us say before, it ain't about what, it's about who, you know, and what that means is, you know, there's all different layers when it comes to grading. It's positional values. It's what we're looking for, what we need. We're about impact, you know, and the overall grade of the player, of the impact of the player. And that's what we've always focused on. So that's best player available mentality. What we're excited about this year's draft is best player available also kind of lines up to where what you're looking for, what you're seeking, what are your needs. Obviously, we needed edge this year, and we've always been looking for more edge. You can never have too many pressure players. And the way that the draft kind of fell, we're looking at two edge players that we feel like can impact our team. So that's what we when we executed that. But from an overall perspective, best player available, the impact that they're going to have, that's what we focus more on.
Kyle, talk to us about trading and how difficult that is in the draft. You guys went back into the first round late. Last year, we asked Terry about this, and he was like, look, you got to have a trade partner. Everybody just assumes, all right, we want to jump back in, and it happens. There was a reaction, and I'm not sure if you saw it. I think it was Howie Roseman of the Eagles. Apparently, they wanted to get back in, and you know, he was like, no wonder nobody was answering our phone calls because you guys were trying to move. I guess other teams were attempting to get back in as well. How difficult is that?
Yeah, you never know. I mean, I think that's one of the things that I've learned as I've grown, you know, higher in different positions as an area scout. I would always have that mindset similar to a fan, you know, in terms of, oh man, there's nobody there, trade back, you know. And it's like, well, yeah, it's not that easy. You know, some people don't, you know, might not be wanting to trade up, you know. So there's always been that adage when we were here in 21 and we're at pick four, you know, oh yeah, we're in great position here, let's pick up a bunch of picks and do all that. Well, you can't do any of that stuff when nobody's calling. So, you know, it's a difficult thing. We're always looking to move up, move back. It like always want to move around, try to get more picks, whatever it is. But it's never as easy as just saying, oh yeah, trade back, or hey, you know, trade up. Well, team we're trying to trade up for, especially as you know, quarterbacks. That's another one. You know, you can have 3 first round picks in a draft, say 2 first round picks in a draft, and you might need a quarterback. Well, if you're not the number one pick or the number two pick and the teams up there need quarterbacks, you can have all the draft capital you want. They're not going to, they don't want it because they need a quarterback. You know what I mean? So it goes both ways in terms of trading back or trading up. So it's unpredictable that way.
Kyle Smith, assistant general manager here with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Since you brought up quarterbacks, I want to ask you about Michael Penix. I got wind of this late in the process last year, like 2 days before the draft. And I went on the show and said, what if I told you guys they might draft a quarterback? People lost their minds, obviously, because we had Kirk already in the building and did not know 100% that that was going to be the situation. But threw it out there, and a lot of people reacted, and then obviously you guys surprised a lot of people. As you go back and look at that, and obviously we have a lot of confidence. I think fans are excited about Michael. I know you guys are high on him as well. But just that process of being that convicted to make that pick. And the response, were you surprised at the response?
No, I guess surprised anymore. You know, not surprised at anything anymore, but I understand where people were. It was unexpected, you know. It you know, there's no question about it. But from our mindset, and it goes back to 2021. Like when we first got here, we wanted, everybody wants to draft a first round quarterback and have a rookie deal and all those things. But again, you have to have them graded in the right spot. And since we've been here, we were where we've been selecting in the first round. We haven't had a quarterback that's been there looking at us that we've had graded in that position. Going to last year with Mike and Kirk, well, going into the draft, you can't sit there at pick 8 and expect with no quarterback on the roster that you're going to have, you know, you're going to sit there and pick a quarterback. So we had to do everything we could. We couldn't trade up at the time like we just talked about. People aren't trading out because what happens up top? They need quarterbacks as well. So now we're into free agency. So we went and got the best quarterback we could in free agency, and that's Kirk Cousins, and we believe in Kirk, and we love that Kirk's here. So we executed that. And then obviously as we're on the clock and we're sitting there, here's Mike Penix is sitting there looking at us where we had him graded in that win because of type of player. And we didn't hesitate to make the pick. And so we took care of what we felt like Kirk Cousins is the now and the future here. In the next 5 years, we've got that quarterback position sorted out, you know, which is not something that we've had in the past. So that's kind of how the process went. You never know. Like, you know, we always talk about hypotheticals, and I know in your world you probably talk about a lot of hypotheticals.
Who, us?
but you know, it all intertwines. It really does, because if you think about, you know, had we not went after Kirk in free agency, and we were sitting there, and everybody in the world knows that we're going to take a quarterback. So if anybody thinks that we would have sat there at pick 8 draft night, you're crazy, because we would have went to pick 4 to go attack and go get the quarterback that we want and make sure, because there's other, as soon as we picked the quarterback, Mike, you saw behind us another team traded up, you know, so you never know. Nobody knows. Everyone got the guy they wanted, so nobody really knows. But draft night last year, if we didn't have a quarterback, we would have given up stuff to go get Mike. And that leads you to this year. Well, what would we have had this year? Don't know what the cost would have been, but probably wouldn't be in the same position that we're in this year in terms of taking two edge players in one. Maybe the cost would have been a second rounder last year to go up, and now you don't have your two. Well, now you can't go up to go get James Pierce, or you can't. So there's a lot of things that happen when you make certain decisions that we're always thinking about the future and what those costs are. So that's kind of the full process of mindset and what goes through our minds throughout all those decisions.
Kyle, I've said he has shown me in 3 games, I'm talking about obviously our quarterback and Michael Penix, the flashes that you want to see. And the play that stands out is the Washington touchdown to Pitts, where he throws it in that tight window. He says he looked off the Mike linebacker, moves him where he wants to, and I'm sitting here thinking, there are guys that have been in the league 8 years that aren't able to do that. And he did it in that was his second game, because the third game was the Carolina Panthers. My point is, when did you know in those interviews, because you're a part of that, right? You're a part of all that stuff. When did you know, like, this is the dude?
Yeah, it was more the tape than it was the interviews, I think. You know, any time that we're evaluating quarterback, it's the hardest position to evaluate. There's no doubt about it. That's why you see every year there's more and more swings, especially now since the salary cap era and the slotting of the draft picks. You're not as, you know, there's not as much money put into the first round picks as it was years and years ago. But with Mike, you know, and quarterbacks in general, we're looking for moments that they capture you. I always like to watch the worst games first in terms of quarterbacks. And in those worst, what they're considered the worst games, do they capture you in those games? And Mike, there wasn't a game that you put on, whether it was Washington or Indiana, that he doesn't capture you with something. Is it arm talent? Is it his ability to look things off, as you mentioned? Is it his ability to work within the pocket? That was the things that jumped off with Mike. You know, the Texas game in particular was a laser light show that he put on. But so there was always those moments within each tape that you watch that you're like, man, this guy's got some special things. When trying to translate what translates from college to the pros, the commonality is always guys that can play within the pocket at the quarterback position. And Mike can run more than what people think Mike can run. You know, obviously with his 40 and he is a very good athlete. But the guys that can play within the pocket, and he is so natural in the pocket and calm and his demeanor, you guys all see it. It's easy to see that way. And his ability to deliver the ball and make you cover every blade of grass. That's consistent in all of his tapes. And I think he's shown that in flash. He's got a long way to go. We know that. But we're extremely excited about where he's at. The things he's learned from Kirk last year. You know, the offseason when interview process, the pro days, all that stuff just kind of confirmed our belief in him.
Kyle, it's not on you. You weren't here. But we haven't been to the playoffs since 2017 as an organization. And now we're counting, you know, the years of, man, when are we going to get there? We thought, everybody thought we were going to get there last year, being in charge of this division. How much pressure is on you guys, and I say you as you, Terry, everybody in the building, are you guys feeling that at all? Do you hear that, or how do you approach that?
Yeah, I think in the NFL, the pressure's every year. You know, we've always put that on ourselves of there isn't, you know, as far as outside influence and all those things, say that in a respectful way. Like, we don't listen to anything outside the building. We can't. If you do, you drive you crazy, yeah. And you shouldn't be in these positions. You shouldn't. But there's obviously in the NFL, there's pressure all the time, and nobody puts more pressure on myself than me, or on Terry, on himself, Raheem. We all put a tremendous amount of pressure on ourselves because we care about each other. We want to win. We care about the organization, fan base, everybody. So the pressure is always there. It's been there, you know, ever since you walk in the league.
Kyle Smith, assistant general manager here with us of our Atlanta Falcons, joining us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Want to ask you about a specific player. We've had a lot of conversation about Kyle Pitts, and you talked about the 21 draft and being there at 4 and having options potentially. The perception is he's not lived up to the advertised player we thought we might get. And I've heard Ross say, you know, look, he needs to be the best player he can be. I know, you know, his fifth year's option has been picked up. You guys made that decision. But what do you think we get from him going into this season? I see this as a huge season for Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, we're excited about Kyle and always have been. And you know, obviously Kyle's been through a lot of adversity since he's been here. You know, year one, he came out gangbusters and had a hell of a year and dealt with an injury year two. And a lot of people don't realize how significant that injury was and the things that he was going through and where he was percentagely, you know, going out there every day and practicing and playing and being available and being a good teammate and all those things. And, you know, the more that he's coming back and he's shown those things last year, the flashes last year, it's just about consistency. And we're excited about Kyle and his opportunity this year and with the offense in general. You know, obviously having a top five offense, and you got a lot of dudes there and a lot of weapons and offensive line, and you know, obviously Drake and Bijan and Tyler and Mooney and all the Charlie, and we got a lot of guys there. So there's only one ball to go around, but we're excited about where Kyle's at. He looks good right now in the off season, and he feels good, his body, and so we're ready to go with him.
Kyle, can you talk about buckets? I heard you talk about these buckets that you guys, I guess, place players in, draftable, maybe, you know, and kind of describe that. And then this collaboration, because we hear this in the building all the time, and getting it from a different voice, because, again, we don't get a chance to talk to Kyle Smith, guys, the assistant general manager, that often. Explain first the buckets and how that works, and then what is this collaboration within the building when you guys make these major decisions?
Yeah, so I think everybody in the league, you know, grades a little bit differently. We're a color-coded system in how we grade, and the buckets that we talk about is, you know, there's obviously the high-level players, and within that top bucket is elite starters, high-level impact starters, solid starters, and then you take a next step down, and it's – and not necessarily a step down, but it's, you know, your win with starters. And then you have your depth players. And that's the biggest bucket, is the depth players, role players, backups, you know, core special teamers, etc. That's the biggest bucket year to year, because that's what plays in the league. Like, a majority of the NFL is in that bucket. So the way we go about things is, obviously you have your scouts that come in and they start the bucketing system and placing guys. And then next thing, from a collaboration perspective, you know, the cross checkers, the national scouts, myself, you know, we start to massage those buckets a little bit. This guy goes here, et cetera, and so forth. And then obviously then the coaches come in, and then we kind of fine tune how do these guys fit into what we're trying to do. The main point of the buckets is wherever you are in the draft, wherever your picks are, you don't want to choose from a bucket that's lower than what your value is. You know what I mean? So that's the philosophy in which we do things.
That keeps you from reaching.
Correct. Yes. That's the mindset of what you do. And that shows in terms of, kind of talks about what we did this year, is in that top bucket we had rushers, and now it's about how do you go about getting those guys. And the way that we grade is not year to year. It's based off of, you know, how we grade for the league and how we grade for us. So the guys that are in bucket, top bucket, they're going to be in there on any given year because that's what we see the player as in the NFL. It's not you're adjusting because there's, you know, there's no players in this year's draft. For example, if I said this is a season that every single player in the draft that we're grading this year is a win-win starter. There are no top bucket players.
Okay.
Well, 32 players are going to go in the first round, right?
Right.
Like, so you're going to – it's just the way it is. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you're not going to massage it and say, oh, well, I think that these guys are elite starters because we're the number one pick in the draft. And no, you just got to know – you grade them for what they are, and then you select them that way. So that's our philosophy and how we do things. We believe in it and we're convicted in it, and that's how we execute.
One of those picks was James Pierce Jr. We had the young man on, quiet. He may be a killer. I don't know. He's just quiet and reserved. But he was special at Tennessee. But I'm curious to know, as a front office, you know, people have talked about character issues, and I don't want to disparage a young man. Look, I've been around the NFL long enough, Kyle, to say a guy being late for a meeting is different than a guy who's been arrested multiple times, right? So they're not all, speaking of buckets, it's not all the same bucket when you start talking about, okay, what are we talking about, maturity? Or are we talking about a potentially bad guy? When you hear those things and you hear the concerns about James, and I know you guys did the backgrounds and all of that, did any of it concern you guys to the point? Obviously, it didn't. You drafted him, but people are still talking about that, and we don't know what kind of player he's going to be.
Right. Well, I think when it comes to character, you know, first of all, our scouts do a tremendous job of gathering all the information, you know, that these guys have been around for 4 years, coaches, support staff, trainers, academic advisors, everybody that they've been around, and you're getting a full profile of the player. When it comes to character, a lot of times you have to look inward at your organization, at your coaching staff, at the people that are going to be around these players day to day. You know, the personalities, do they jive with your position coach that you have, your coordinator that you have? Like, what's his coaching techniques like? You know, that helps change what players you're bringing in and what players you have already within your locker room. You know, obviously with Jalen, his character and his personality and his makeup is different than James. And James's is different than Billy Bowman and Xavier. Everybody's different. Mm. You know, it's just about you look inward at your organization and do we have, you know, the people in place and the rooms that we're going to drop these guys into to maximize these guys and get in their potentials. And we've done a ton of work on every one of these players, James included, and we're really confident with, you know, what we have to begin with, dropping these guys into the same room with the coaches that we have to maximize these guys.
One of the things I hear about you is you really got a great eye for talent, evaluating. Where did that come from? Who did you – is there someone you emulate or someone as you grew in this business that you were like, that's it, that's how to go about this?
Yeah, well, my dad, A.J. Smith, he was a general manager for 10 years with the Chargers, and, you know, I was born and raised in the profession. You know, he was a scout and was a gym teacher first for 15 years before he became a scout. But he was – you know, he was my idol, hero, mentor, everything to me. And, you know, that's kind of who I – you know, obviously look up to and wanted to become a scout and all those things. But then as you get into it, you know, what he always said to me was, you know, I'm not going to sit there and put you on my lap and watch tape with you and tell you, you know, this is what a player is. This is what you got to learn yourself. You got to understand it and feel it yourself. Now I was a, you know, wannabe player as well. And that always helps when you play and the higher up you go, you start seeing what players are and what players aren't, what they look like, walk like, talk like, mm-hmm. act like. All those things. But as I got in the league, you start getting around different coaches. Like I mentioned, those guys from Washington, and you're seeing how coaches view players. And then you start to get your own flavor of what you like and what you don't like and what works and what doesn't work. And I've missed a lot. We all have.
Yeah.
And have my hits as well. But that's how you become better and better in our profession is you've got to go through that process of experiencing your hits and misses and learning from those.
that staff in Washington, pretty incredible, right? Now that you look back at it, and for those of you who aren't aware, I mean, at one point, Ra was there, Kyle was there, Shanahan, LaFleur, and you know, we're talking about McVay, right? And now you look at this tree of guys and how they're creating their own trees. What was the vibe like? I'm just curious, like, because you were all pretty young guys.
Yeah, we were all really young, and obviously I was on the other side of the building, but you could tell, you know, that's what's so interesting about our business is you look at that staff and you know, we went to the playoffs, you know, the first year and
RG3, right?
RG3 year, yep. And then you know, we had some obviously adversity through there too. And but what's funny about it is you could tell right away, you know, Kyle Shanahan, you knew right away, you know, who he was and what he was and the success that he was going to have. Sean McVay, all those guys, Raheem, like you just knew how good those guys were and how good they were going to be. You know, but it was a lot of fun, you know, being around those guys. It was intense. It was, you know, vibrant with those guys. And but you could tell right away that staff, those guys were all going to be special once they left.
Kyle Smith, assistant general manager for our Falcons. One last thing before we let you go. When you, as a front office, when you guys said, we're comfortable with Kirk Cousins being our backup, I think a lot of people, including me, said, really? But we're here. The offseason certainly is not done and things could change. But when you guys said that as an organization, I just don't know how many people believe that to be the case. A lot of that, Kyle, as you know, is based on price tag, right? And based on, you know, what the perception is and what we're paying him X amount of dollars. As you look at that situation, I've said I do not believe it in Kirk Cousins being a distraction. That's not been who he is. But how do you view it, being the assistant general manager, if we roll around the camp and that is still the situation here?
Yeah, I think – you know, we are comfortable with our because we look at it as we are really excited about our quarterback room in general. We've got two guys that we view as starters, and not every team can say that, you know. And obviously the way that it went down and how we got to this point, you know, we're excited about Mike and his growth and development and Kirk. You know, the guy's a consummate professional. He's been that way his whole career. We love Kirk. Obviously, the price tag and the cap and the all that stuff is, you know, that's the price of quarterbacks. You know, it just is. And no different than if a team gave up three first round picks to go get a quarterback. I mean, it's which way are you looking at it? And we're just excited about the room in general and who we have at this point. And you know, we're excited moving forward and what will be. And, you know, obviously in terms of, you know, around the league and the trades and all that kind of stuff, like, you know, if anything makes sense to us and, you know, then we'd entertain it. But, you know, we're like we've all said, we're comfortable with it, where the room is at.
Kyle Smith, thank you so much, man. Appreciate you.
No, thank you. Appreciate it.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Nerds.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Our man in studio, Bryant McFadden, we were just talking off air. I want to go back to this before we move on to some of the other things. And again, the DB camp that they're going to have, guys, it's pretty cool. I'm excited about it. DP Showcase, invite only. But he said hit him up on social media, Facebook, find him on Twitter, X, all the places, and send him a message and let him know that you want to be a part of this June 6th through the 8th at Milton High School. We were talking about your exclusive with Michael Penix that came out. It's been 2 weeks now?
It was about 3 weeks.
Okay.
3 weeks.
Yeah. And I remember you hit us up and were like, check this out. Because you'll do this casually. And I click on it and I'm like, oh, snap. And Mike's like, what? And I'm like, man, B-Mac is, he's got Penix. He's talking with him. He's hanging out. And then I got a chance, obviously, after the show to watch the full video. Tremendous job. But your take about Penix. What did you get from him in that experience? And by the way, if you haven't seen it, it's out there on social media, guys.
Yep.
You can go check it out. Bryant McFadden, they're kicking it in Waffle House. It's just a great interview. Michael Penix, our Falcons quarterback. What did you get from him that you feel like Falcon fans should know?
He loves football. The man loves football. Does nothing but goes to the facility, practice, workout, film study, go home. Occasionally, he might go to the grocery store, as he stated to me. But outside of really being outside, no, that's not who he is. So if you're a fan of the Atlanta Falcons, you should be elated to know your quarterback is in love with the game. When you have a quarterback that's in love with the game, they're going to do everything in their power to collect as much intel as possible for them to be at their best. And they're going to do everything in their power to make sure the offense, the team, is at their best. That's what the great ones do. Drew Brees dedicated a lot of time at the facility, getting better. Tom Brady, you know what I mean? The greats. And when you have that guy who just, he's in love with the game, you're going to be in a good position, especially in this day and age of how football is looked at, with so much money being thrown around, so many opportunities off the field are being thrown around. This man loves football. Now, he also stated he plays Call of Duty as well.
My man. But, all right.
You know what I mean? But outside of that's what I want.
What's his code?
I got to get it for you.
I love it. I love it.
Are you nice?
I'm a gamer.
Are you just playing?
I play. I told these guys. I get involved, and then I get hooked up, and next thing you know, it's like, you've been down there 4 hours. And
oh,
I'm like,
my goodness.
Yeah, I can't.
That's a rabbit hole when you go down that hole.
So that's my issue, but that's awesome. So that's his escape.
That's his escape. And he's trying to get into golf.
Okay.
He talked about that with me, and, of course, we got a chance to FaceTime Matt Ryan. And he's trying to get into golf.
That was great, by the way.
But he said he's not good because he hasn't devoted enough time because he don't have time because of the football element.
You never want your quarterback to be a scratch golfer. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's not great.
Yeah.
I know Mahomes and Steph Curry can get it done, but that's all right. Hey, I do have one more question in regards to Michael Penix for you. Should he play in the preseason? Is there a risk-reward factor there? He's only got 3 games, right? And there's a lot riding on him being at least more than serviceable, right? At worst, a game manager, at best, you know, a guy that is making plays, making guys around him better. Only three games coming into the season, though. Should he have some time of active play in the preseason?
No question. No question. With this preseason being shortened to only three games, I think it's super important to get your starters out there. Remember, he only played in one preseason game a year ago, which was mind-boggling for me. Kirk Cousins didn't participate at all, which was confusing as well. But throughout time, you saw the lack of a rhythm kind of be put on display because of that. Pat Mahomes plays every preseason. Andy Reid plays his starters every preseason. I understand if someone gets injured, that's the first question you have to answer as a coach. But it's about being prepared. You know what I mean? You don't want to get in a situation where you have a long road trip and you just put that car on the road and you hadn't packed the gas. Right? You want to make sure that gas has been padded so it's ready to go. And I think the preseason is the time to do so.
Yeah, I agree. And especially where we've been the last few years, you know, the Ritter thing played out the same way.
Oh, my.
They didn't play Ritter. And that was a different coach, right?
Yes.
It was a different coaching staff. Arthur Smith admitted to us going into the next season that he blew that. Like, he needed to play him, and he knew it, and he was going to do a better job of getting guys prepared the following season.
Not sure playing in the preseason would have helped Ritter much.
Well, it might have.
We don't know. But to your point, yeah. Abe, asking about this, I feel the same way. Like, just based on the last few years, we got to see
do
more.
Do it differently.
Yeah.
We
got to see more of it.
I agree.
Let's talk about what else is happening with the league. And you know, the Falcons get a game internationally. Are you for all these international games? I get it. I've always said it's our thing. Like, fans are going to come out in Germany, and, you know, there's a contingent over there for the Falcons. And you go to England, and they come out, and you go to Spain. But it's an American thing, right? Nobody else in the world is playing NFL football. But the NFL continues to expand. And I saw Roger Goodell at the league meetings this week talk about, you know, in 5 to 7 years, we're going to have like 16 games.
It's going
to
be double digit.
Yeah. Yes. Over internationally.
Yeah.
You for it?
I am for it in terms of the money that is generating, the revenue. I'm for it in terms of trying to globalize the sport in a way we've never anticipated. But I'm against it in terms of the players. The wear and tear. Think about it like this. I remember 2008, Pittsburgh, we're playing Cincinnati in Cincinnati, which is maybe an hour commute on the plane.
Sure.
I broke my arm in that game, right? Of course, they put a hard shell on it. I had to get on the plane and fly. When I tell you the pain that I had to endure for that hour flight was unbelievable.
Because of the pressure.
The pressure and just how uncomfortable I was. But the air pressure made the pain worse. So imagine when you're in Brazil or wherever it is and you have an injury and you got to fly back with that injury and it's an extended flight. It's a 6, 7, 8 hour flight
right
on an airplane. That's tough. But these are the things that the powers that be, they're not really thinking about. They're just thinking about globalizing, how much money we're going to make. It's going to take the game to a whole nother level. But for us as players, there's a lot, man. And think about this, Minnesota. They have two straight games out of the country, I think in Ireland, and then I think they go to Germany or someplace like that. Think about what they have to go through. Now, we got to change our entire regiment for 2 weeks, and we're staying in a hotel.
Right.
You know what I mean? Guys, we're creatures of habits. When we play home, when we play here in the States, got the massage therapist on Thursday, you got the IV specialist on Friday. You know, you go through your regiment, home or away. But when you're playing overseas, things got to change a little bit. You can try to have those same accommodations, but they're a bit pricey. So that's why I'm against it, because I'm looking at it from two sides, the money side, the business side, and then the player side. For players, I'm definitely against it. And if you were to ask players this question, most would say, nah, I don't want to play out of the country.
I think we've seen a lot of sports build off of Olympics, right? I think the MLS came right after the World Cup. I know it wasn't Olympics. But we've seen some leagues kind of develop after Olympics. And obviously, next Olympics, we're going to have flag football. When you combine, hopefully, a world push from flag football along with the international games, I mean, how much bigger do you think the NFL really can get over the course of time? And then, in addition to that, how many more continents are we looking at? Because you've only got Brazil and Mexico, but there's a lot more in South America. We haven't openly really discussed Australia and the African continent. Asia has hosted some preseason games before, stuff like that. It's a lot of Europe, but I feel like there's more to just Europe for where the NFL's headed.
just me, just thinking outside the box, I believe Roger Goodell's game plan internationally is to be right there next to soccer, in my opinion, with how fast we've seen the growth with the slate of international games. And to your next question, Abe, about the continents, yeah, we got outside of America two, right? I could easily see another two, three. Because if we having double-digit games potentially in the next 5 to 6 years, think about how many other continents that you can touch that you're not touching right now, because you would have to do so.
You'd have to.
You would have to. We have, seven this year, right? And we tapped into Brazil a year ago. We're going to go right back to Brazil. We also, we're in Europe at the Real Madrid Stadium, which has never been done before. That's a new venue. So they're already kind of starting to migrate, but I think that's the game plan. But I think another two or three continents could definitely be in play in the next 4 or 5 years. And if that was to happen, it's almost like you're trying to get in that same neighborhood. You're not quite there with football, with soccer.
Right.
But you're not far off. But I can tell you this much, in the next 4 or 5 years, I think the NFL will pass the NBA in terms of the global recognition. I think so. Because you look at the game plan. We just watched the draft. Day two of the draft, which was Friday, they were announcing teams from different countries.
They were.
They had people in different areas in different countries announcing. And look at the people that were there just for that 2 minute of on-air time. So the game plan is in place. It's just a matter of time before
the fandom is there. Here's the thing, though, as we talk to Brian McFadden, and then I want to talk about the case, the DB showcase again before you get out of here. The NBA has been able to globalize the game, and now we have international stars. We were just talking about this. SGA wins the MVP. The last six MVPs.
International players.
International players.
Yeah.
The last six MVPs of the National Football League.
That ain't happening.
That's not happening.
Yeah, that ain't.
And until we get there, B, that's when we've seen the impact of the international games. Because here's what I'm telling you. Where is that star coming from Spain? Where is that star from England or Ireland that comes?
We've seen the rugby guys try,
but come to the NFL.
Special teamers at best, and then you know.
But are star players in the NFL at the elite positions?
It's all American
kickers and punters.
Yeah, and there are a few players from different countries. Now, if you watch the NFL games now, you watch the back of helmets, you see different countries, the flags.
Sure.
So there are a lot of players from different countries that you're not aware of. But in terms of seeing that star, we're a long ways from that because
the development.
The development and just the want to. I think the fans in different countries, they just want to be a part of a game where it's different than what they usually watch in basketball and soccer.
Yeah, yeah.
Think about when you go watch the Falcons play and you actually got good seats. You've seen big men move fast. You don't really – the TV doesn't do it justice about how fast the game is moving and the collisions that we see. Those fans are fired up about that. Oh, man, they can care less who's playing.
Yeah, yeah.
They want to go see men run into people, and it's different than the rugby game. It's not – of course, anything you're doing with collision with no pads, that's physical. But the way we attack each other is like gladiators. And you're having guys who's 6'5", 6'6", 290, moving like little people, and they have no regard for their bodies. That's why fans are selling out. Think about when you watch these international games. It's not a seat available.
Yeah, it's incredible. I'm curious to see where it goes, but I've always said to me, once we get to that point where it's like the star quarterback for the Denver Broncos is from pick your country.
It could happen, but
right, and we've got multiple guys like that in the league. That's when this game is crossed over internationally and it's taken to a different
place. Let me ask you guys a question. I know you talked about real quick something that I think has not really been discussed. Why is it that the NBA has been dominated in terms of from international players, when you look at seven straight years, the MVP has been
the growth
international
of,
player,
well, the growth of the player. Game and the development of the game overseas. See, I don't think people realize this, and I've talked to a lot of guys who play overseas. I got friends that they spent their entire careers overseas. They made a lot of money over there. People don't think they make money. And then the leagues are competitive as hell. On top of that, take Luka. Luka was playing professional basketball at 14 years old. He's playing with full-grown men. He gets to the NBA at 18. He's ready. Like, you've played 4 years of professional basketball overseas, which prepared him to get to the league. And I think a lot of people take these overseas leagues, Israel, Spain. Mm-hmm. I mean, pick your league, guys. Italy. There's some serious hoops going on over there. And I think from that standpoint, as these guys come up – they are more prepared now than they were. Like, you remember European guys used to come over to the league?
It's soft.
And they were, yes, we would criticize
them. Yeah, we did.
Right?
Too soft. Yep.
Tony Kukoc came over. We said, he's the Michael Jordan of Europe. And we were like, ah, whatever. Yeah.
And you remember what Jordan them did when he got to Chicago. They kept hearing about he's the next great when they went at him.
So that's what I think the difference is that development part of it. All right, real quick before we get out of here, B, DB Showcase, once again.
Yes, sir.
June 6th through the 8th at Milton High School. A variety of professionals will be there. 3 days, guys, is what they're trying to do, Friday, Saturday. And you mentioned this again. I think this is the most important and cool part about this for parents and for kids.
Yes.
Up and coming, rising 9th, 10th. 11th graders, guys, yes, playing DB, whatever position it is, and the idea of understanding what's going on in today's atmosphere.
No question. Like I said, if we're able to get enough participants that Friday, we want to do like a symposium-like session and just inform, educate parents and questions to ask these coaches when they're talking to you on the phone or via in person, you know, what to ask in terms of the recruiting process, in terms of NIL opportunities, you know, ways to set up your money, you know, things that you can create to help your son be at his best. Because when he gets these NIL opportunities, listeners, he's a business. He's a business now. And if you're able to get these NIL opportunities in high school, create that mindset now. Create an LLC. Find ways to, you know, to create more of a business portfolio for this young prospect.
Sure.
As he gets older, he understands how to set up his bank accounts, you know, different financial portfolios to be involved, tax opportunities, things like that. And then on Saturday, it's all about getting better. Put your cleats on. The coaches, we're going to be out there, you know, just sharing so much the knowledge that we've been able to be privy to throughout our career to help these kids become better defensive backs. Because defensive backs are very, very important. You know that.
Big.
You can't have enough good corners.
We just drafted two.
Yes.
I mean,
two safeties. You got to have guys that got good feet, good hips, ball skills, and they're willing to run into a fan at any given time.
Yeah, man.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Nerds! Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Just mere minutes away from the return of Ronald Acuna Jr. Let's go. It's a Friday holiday weekend here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Chris Thomas Turtle with you on Chris Thomas tonight till 10 o'clock. Then I will hand the reins over to, myself, for the Atlanta Baseball Postgame Show, which is the only live and local place to talk Atlanta baseball following the game. So we will chat at 404-726-0929. About Ronald's return. But right now, we got to switch things up. Head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our good buddy, Joe Patrick. Joe, I found out something interesting about you when I had Mark Raimondi on the other night. We'll save that for a little bit later in the conversation.
No.
Yeah, sounds like you're going to be potentially getting yourself exposed in front of a lot of really passionate fans. So I'm definitely looking forward to hearing more about this. And that'll be coming up later in the interview. But let's start here. Coordinator speaking this week. A lot of things I want to hit on with you from that. Let's start with what I thought was the biggest soundbite coming from that. And to me, it was this one. Zach Robinson speaking on what Kyle Pitts, Joe, needs to improve upon sounded like a laundry list of items. Everything from quite literally running to discipline to consistency to mastering the offense. Things by, if you're a fifth-year player looking for a new contract, Joe, yikes.
Yeah, I mean, and hey, you don't want to say that the guy can't do it this year, but that certainly is a lot of things to suddenly change in one's game in terms of just being able to flip the switch and, you know, have a complete mastery or whatever the terminology was that Zach Robinson used on top of some, you know, the physical things and on top of the effort things that obviously kind of cropped up last year at times. And so, that I think is one of the reasons why we saw him start to lose snaps, frankly, towards the end of the year. Charlie Warner was, you know, playing as many, if not more, snaps than him by the end of the year. And frankly, I think that the offense is kind of needs a little bit more of what Charlie Warner gives them, despite the fact that Kyle Pitts is such a talent. And I think that both of us think that he can still get it together, but it is obviously worrying when the offensive coordinator is, as you say, has like a laundry list of things that he needs to kind of change about his game coming into this season.
Now, I mean, I don't know if it's possible to define what success would look like from Kyle Pitts, but Joe, I think we all know what we want to see. I think that's a fair argument, right? It might not be he has to hit a milestone of 850 yards and 10 touchdowns, but we know based off of what we saw between the rookie year and the last 3 years what the difference is in that different style of play and that level of production. And I think Falcons fans, it would go a long way just to see those sorts of differences play out on the field, even if he's not a top two or three tight end in terms of production.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that part of it, though, Chris, is down to the style of play that the offenses have been under during the duration of his career. Here's a crazy stat for you. I did not know this. Somebody actually mentioned this in a press conference, and Arthur Smith at the time kind of gave him a head nod for knowing it. But the Falcons had the most pass attempts in the NFL in 2021. That would have been Kyle Pitts' rookie year. That's when this team had Matt Ryan. They did not really have the offensive line kind of established like they do now. It was a shakier at that time. Didn't really have the running game. Arthur Smith was trying to piece something together, and they were throwing the ball pretty much constantly. And I think that that's one of the reasons why it was better set up for Kyle Pitts to have success there, especially just in terms of the volume, having more opportunities to make catches. And I think that that's something that has changed in terms of how the team has deployed him, whether it's been Arthur Smith or whether it's been under Zach Robinson's offense, which is that He seems to be more of a stretch the field type of guy, even though he's not the fastest of the pass catchers the Falcons have. Based on the matchups you get with him over on a safety or potentially a linebacker, using him to clear out space can still help. And so that's the way the Falcons have tended to use him. And he's had some big plays. You know, he's had explosive plays, but ultimately that's not really going to make as much of an impact as this team needs from that position, when on the opposite side of the coin, you could have a player like Charlie Warner, who's going to be a fantastic blocker for you. You can use him as a kind of a gadget to move around pre-snap motions types of things. And he just has the traits to be able to do those things effectively. So, I still think that Kyle Pitts can have a successful year this year, by the way. But I just don't, I'm not convinced. I haven't seen anything to suggest that he's really going to be getting a ton of volume, but I still think that he's probably going to have some of these, big plays, but ultimately it's going to be that kind of fleeting success.
It's a rare day that a special teams coordinator makes a headline, but Marquise Williams essentially saying there is going to be a healthy competition between Koo and Krieg is definitely something we've been talking about a lot, Joe.
Yeah, and it's something that Raheem Morris pretty much said was going to be on the cards after last season ended. Obviously, it was such a disappointment, and the kicking game really, playing a large part of it. You know, not only every team can probably look at maybe not every team, but some teams when they struggle in kicking can look to one or two games that they could have won. But in the Falcons' case, those wins not only would have gotten them into the playoffs, but obviously that penultimate week of the season when you're using Riley Patterson, and unfortunately he's not able to make a 56-yard field goal, and that potentially changes the Falcons' season and doesn't allow them into the playoffs. So I think the Falcons have done this really smartly, though, Chris, by signing Lenny Krieg, and I think that they kind of outbid on the money. I think they probably went up because signing Krieg in particular offers a level of flexibility because he occupies the international player spot. And so the team can basically lock him up. You can almost think of it like an NBA team when they have the guy playing in Europe. Not that Krieg is going to be playing in Europe. He'll be with the Falcons, of course. But they can kind of keep him stashed if Koo goes ahead and wins the job, which is what I think the Falcons ultimately would want to see happen in training camp.
Talking all things Falcons with our buddy Joe Patrick here. Follow him on Twitter to get all the latest from Flowery Branch. Between DJ Williams, Jerry Gray, TJ Yates, you name it, Zach Robinson, nothing but high praise for Michael Penix Jr. As expected, Joe, is it essentially the only thing that could get in this guy's way at this point is just his lack of experience?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that is definitely something that he's going to have to continue to develop this year in terms of, gaining those bits of experience and then using them to get better and not making the same mistakes twice. That's what you really don't want to see out of these young players. And I think the other thing, Chris, in terms of, potential hurdles for Penix, there have been, I think, some legitimate concerns about some of the accuracy issues that occurred in those three games. However, I think you have to take that with a massive grain of salt because he hadn't had reps with some of these receivers. And so I think it would make sense that actually on some of the shorter timing routes, he might not kind of be fully synced up with them. However, having said that, there were some bad throws, and you want to see that kind of stuff cleaned up. Ultimately, I think he's going to make his fair share of mistakes, though, Chris. I just think that he's going to make enough big plays to make up for that and ultimately be, I think, a pretty massive plus value.
So when it comes to the rest of the coordinators that spoke, I thought Jerry Gray saying a lot of training camp battles this year would be interesting because, Joe, I think other than maybe a spot or two in the secondary, I feel like this roster's maybe not the roster, but this team, the starting lineup, as we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks, is pretty set, no?
Yeah, there are. I mean, it is. I think that there are. You have to look out, I think, in this training camp of the surprise young player who comes in. Maybe it's one of these undrafted free agents, especially one of these, more, high-profile ones like Kobe Bryant, as Raheem Moore said, the most famous UDFA that he's ever seen. But I think that this training camp could be one where you see those players – surprisingly usurp, a veteran player. And it might not necessarily be because the younger player is that much better, even if better at all. But I think that I think that this coaching staff this particular year is going to be conscious of the future and how they go about turning over the roster. And I'm thinking of guys like Kentavious Street. You know, like you have these real professional players who are, you know, solid players, but if you can find depth, and I'm not thinking of a particular player who might usurp him, that's just the profile of player where I'm thinking if he's an aging veteran, you know, and who's giving you pretty much average production, you might want to go ahead and take the gamble to go with some of the younger players. And Raheem Morris has said they have an intention of playing those guys. However, I do want to just say, having said that, I think there's a big difference between these top four picks playing a lot of snaps, which I think we can obviously all expect to see, versus these UDFAs who I think are, you know, barely making it onto the roster and being still a developmental piece going forward. I don't expect any of those guys to really challenge for starting roles in this first season.
Nate Oli was talking about his unit on the D-line, and he was talking about the growth that's needed from year one to year two. Ruka Rororo, Brandon Dorlus, all these guys. So I think that's sort of par for the course, Joe. Again, another headline that we've been talking about all offseason long is, yeah, they didn't draft anybody on the defensive line because they've spent high-ranking picks bringing in guys over the last couple of years that, quite frankly, just need to work.
Right, exactly. And it's going to be massive to see, you know, what those guys do. And I would even throw, you know, even a player like Zach Harrison, who's been around for a couple years now, but hasn't really truly had to, you know, been relied upon as being like a three-down player, a true starter. And frankly, Chris, I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see some of these younger players unleashed. I think that last year there was a lot of frustration with, especially up front on that defensive line, the rotations and the veterans really being preferred by the then head coach who's now been replaced and Nate Oli is in place. And it really does, you know, to the point you make, Chris, I think he's really optimistic, but I think he's also just like really excited to see what these young players can give him. And he's kind of a younger guy himself who has a lot of energy, and I think he can kind of really breathe new life into that room.
All right, Joe, before I let you go, how did you find yourself co-hosting a wrestling panel with our buddy Mark Raimondi? We dropped that little nugget on the show last night. I didn't even know you were a wrestling guy, Joe.
Hey, I didn't either, Chris. I didn't either. And I'm like, how did I get here? I don't really know how I got here. Mark Raimondi, of course, covered the Falcons. He came, this was his first year covering the team for ESPN. We struck off a bit of a friendship, and he's been into wrestling. He's written a book about it, in fact, and which I didn't know at the time. Or I knew he was writing a wrestling book. We had one conversation during a Falcons practice where we're locked inside, and it was a Thursday. There was only a few of us there. And we were having a really great conversation about how much like wrestling when we were kids in the mid-90s kind of has impacted society and continues to impact society in ways that are cultural, political, societal, even like, you know, philosophical and like psychological. And so it's really kind of a fun dissection his book is of all that stuff. That's what he wrote about. And he took me to an independent wrestling show here in Atlanta that I thought was $20 for ringside, or I'm sorry, it was $20 to get in, $25 if you want ringside seats, which obviously we up for. And yeah, it was incredible. I was in awe of like these guys who are playing for a crowd of about 100 people max, you know, in a warehouse, but everybody was like, you know, rowdy and into it. And I realized that it's like, the fact that it's fake doesn't matter. It's a performance and it's a show that is just entertaining, flat out. And sometimes you can't even explain, frankly, why it's entertaining. But been back to a couple more of those shows. And then based off of, you know, that conversation we had earlier, I also have recorded a podcast with Mark, which will be coming out soon. There's a little tease there. We do about an hour-long conversation, kind of redoing that initial conversation that we had. And then, yes, I'll be moderating a panel for his book launch that I believe is toward the end of June, like June 28th, I believe, at Acapella Books in Atlanta.
So he told me that if you start veering off topic, because I said to him, I said, just be careful. Like, you know, Joe may, you know, bring in like an expected goal conversation about Atlanta United. And he said, don't worry, I have a steel chair. And I said, oh, well, yeah. I said, keep him in line if he's going to start veering off topic into Braves or Atlanta United or Falcons or something like that. So just be careful, my friend. Come next month, he'll be waiting for you.
And I need to give him a proper promotion here. It's Say Hello to the Bad Guys is the name of the book, How Professional Wrestling's New World Order Changed America. It's about the NWO. You can get it on Amazon or wherever you get your books. I hope our bosses don't mind me promoting his book here.
I mean,
it's really good. I'm halfway through it.
Well, he comes on my show all the time, so I got to give him love for it for that. And then you are part of the station, so I'd hope everybody would be come-see-come-sa about this, especially because you're co-hosting the event. So, all right, Joe, we will talk next week off on Monday, so I will talk to you a week from today.
Wow.
How about that? An actual, because you know what, Joe, when you're a part-time host but a full-time producer, you got to work all the holidays.
So now
that I'm a full-time host, I get the holidays off.
Living large. Make the most of it, Chris.
Yeah, I absolutely will. I'll be working my other job. How about that? All right, Joe, we'll talk to you next week. Appreciate it. All right. Coming up next, we got a big NBA hour coming up before Knicks and Pacers tip off for game two. That game was chef's kiss, one of the best basketball games I've seen in a very long time. Let's head out to our sister station, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Chris Fedor is going to join me there, NBA insider, also writes for the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Man, the Cavs, too. That is an interesting situation to chop up. We'll do all that next. Big NBA hour at the 7 p.m. hour. Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you till 10.
Senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Pat Forty. Pat, we're going to get to some of the college sports commission stuff, maybe sprinkling a little horse racing. But the topic of today has been passenger princesses and what passenger etiquette is. You the kind of guy that scrolls the IG? Do you always take the wheel when you're on road trips with the fam, or what's going on there?
I do prefer to do the driving.
Attaboy.
When I am in the car. My wife is sometimes annoyed by that, but I'm not a very good like side passenger, so just let me drive and everything's going to be better that way.
Now, do you have rules for her in the passenger seat or no?
Oh, no, she can do whatever the heck she wants.
See,
that's what me and Pat, we vibe on that because, you know, just sit over there and don't bother me.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know what? You pick the radio station or the music, whatever. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah, I don't care. That. Just let me do the driving.
Pat, I'm elbowing my wife going, hey, wake up. It's time to talk. But it is what it is. Hey, thanks so much for joining us this morning. And I think that from the sounds of it, Pat, we're all expecting a little bit coming soon about this house settlement, which will set in motion a series of events where we'll probably hear about, you know, the CEO of the College Sports Commission and whatever else is going on out there. What are your expectations in terms of the timeline on all the events that are currently facing college sports?
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody's kind of hoping that the settlement comes this week, if possible, and that Judge Wilkin accepts the settlement. I mean, there's a little bit of a roll of the dice by the powers that be in college sports that they haven't exactly just gone straight along with what the judge wished they would do in terms of grandfathering in roster spots. And, you know, it's possible still that she could say, no, forget it. This isn't good enough. And then we go to a trial, which would set everything back years. Hopefully it doesn't come to that, but we'll see. And then, yeah, I think things will happen quickly thereafter because time's ticking. I mean, July 1st is when this thing goes into effect, and a lot will come along with that in terms of, yes, a new enforcement structure and obviously a completely different financial model in terms of what players can get and who they can get it from and how much they can get.
Well, I don't even know where to start. I got so many questions on this, but I guess I'll start with the CEO part of this new NCAA essentially that they're gonna create. That the rumor is, and it's multiple people have reported kind of that it's gonna be a name outside of college athletics. I mean, what do you expect? And just to speak, I guess, and abstractly, what do you expect in this person? What do you expect them to kind of their background? They're gonna be a complete business, or like what do you expect from this CEO?
Well, I mean, I think the CEO is largely just going to be overseeing enforcement of rules. So I don't think it's going to be that much of a front and center position where, you know, every issue that comes up where everybody's like, well, what does the CEO think? Because I don't think the CEO is going to be able to have much say over a lot of it. You know, I think that person's going to be there to rule on, did this collective violate the new rules in terms of paying that player this much money? So, you know, that person's, it's going to be an important job, but it's not going to be like Roger Goodell. I don't think in any respect. So who it is, I don't know. And they're going to answer to a board that's made up of the Power Conference commissioners, which tells me, guess what? The Power Conference commissioners are still in charge. So Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti primarily are still going to be running the show.
Hanging out with Pat Forty from Sports Illustrated. And Pat, just to kind of follow up on that, and this is kind of a loaded question, I guess, but is there, like, how far down the road are we going to get to we can expect an offseason in college football that's not crazy in terms of rules changing? Like, are we ever going to get to a point, let's call it 2028, where we're going, you know what, everybody's under the same blanket of rules and we can move forward and just focus on the product on the field?
Don't get your hopes up. I mean, you know, this is, like, truly, we have had unbelievable tumult in college sports at this time of year for five straight years. You know, is the pandemic, are we going to play? 2021, the SEC takes Texas and Oklahoma. 2022, the Big Ten takes USC and UCLA. 2023, the rest of the Pac-12 falls apart. Last year, we're starting a new playoff. This year, we're going to tweak the playoff. It looks like maybe as soon as today, they may change the playoff seeding format, which will be probably, I think, a good move, but will be a change and would require, you know, the likes of the Mountain West Conference and the ACC and Big 12 to give up something. So, you know, there's always something. And I think now as we are heading into this new house settlement era, there's probably going to continue to have to be fundamental changes and tweaks to that along the way as we figure out what works and doesn't work.
Pat Forty joining us here on the morning show. I think the thing for me is this document that they want everyone to sign that basically says you'll abide by these rules. And it, I think part of it, I guess, the way I read it was to keep the states from making their own laws, which can kind of circumvent the House ruling, so to speak. And I read about it, Pat, that if they don't sign it, you will just basically kicked out and you can't play the other Power Fives. It is not realistic in any way that, like, let's say a Tennessee would say we're not signing it and then they would just be kind of blacklisted, right? That's not realistic.
It's funny you would think of, say, Tennessee in this instance. Since I think you could call this the Tennessee rule at this point because everybody's so tired of that state legislature and that attorney general basically saying, we're just going to make the rules up as we see fit. So I think, you know, that's kind of what this is aimed at. This is another one that, like, you read and it's like, whoa, what's going on here? And I think in reality, it's probably more of a warning shot than a realistic situation where, yes, a school is not going to sign this thing and or it's really going to actually lead to them being expelled from a conference. First of all, you know, so let's say this is the Big Ten and let's say it's Penn State that won't sign it. Do you think Fox is going to sit there and be fine with the Big Ten kicking Penn State, one of the biggest cash cows in college football, out of the league?
Good point.
No. Fox basically is in charge of the Big Ten. ESPN's in charge of the SEC. And they're going to say, we want our ratings kings in that league. So this is another one I think when rubber hits road is not going to necessarily lead to anything fundamental. We'll see. I'm going to SEC meetings next week. I'll ask people about it there. But, you know, my expectation is that this is kind of a shot across the bow to these schools. Like, look, we're coming up with new rules. Can we please try to follow them for 1 year before trying to screw around and find a way around the rules?
So, Pat, I got to ask you something a little off topic because I saw you got to spend some time with Travis Hunter, recently drafted by the Jags, and we just keep hearing these stories about what an incredible guy Travis is. He had a moment go viral for being so nice to a lady sitting next to him on a flight. When you guys were out fishing, because he loves fishing, Wow. Tell me he had some kind of human frustrated moment, or is he just cool, calm, and collected?
He had no frustrated moments. First of all, he's a really good fisherman, yeah. So he didn't like screw anything up to the point where he got mad like some of the rest of us would. He piloted the boat. He found the fish. He put us on the fish. He did have one instance, like the first rod he picked up where, what was it, like something wasn't tied on right. I can't remember exactly what happened. And like just threw the lure into the water and it didn't retrieve because it wasn't tied on. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, oh, well, that's a bummer. And reeled up and just kept going. And, you know, he's a great guy. He is. He's fantastic, down to earth, very confident in himself, as he should be, but a great person to spend 2-3 hours out on a lake fishing with, that's for sure. I had a great time.
Wow, that's awesome.
Joining us here on the Morning Shift, I got a question about the Triple Crown now with horse racing, and we saw what Sovereignty wins the Derby, and then it says, you know, we're not going to race, and what the Preakness, I think, was the next one. And this is not the first time it's happened in recent history. You as a guy that's covered this sport for years, Pat, you can't love the new era of what the Triple Crown has become, can you?
No. Yeah, I've covered it a long time, and it's just disappointing because this is the highlight of the horse racing season, so to speak, and the schedule as it currently stands doesn't work with the modern thoroughbred. They don't race every 2 weeks, and to have them turn around from the Derby to the Preakness is asking for something that's not natural and something they really never do any other point in their careers, and so I don't think it would be that hard to chill and put a little more room between those three races and actually breathe a little bit longer shelf life into the excitement of the Triple Crown. If you put the Preakness on Memorial weekend or the first Saturday in June, you leave the Derby where it is, first Saturday in May, and then you run the Belmont on 4th of July, you're going to get more good horses that compete in all three. You are going to get more excitement, I think, for a longer period of time. And it's better for the animals, I think. So we'll see what happens, if there's any sort of movement to get that changed. But it's been disappointing to see Derby winners not go on to run the Preakness.
That's Pat Forty, senior writer for Sports Illustrated. Pat, I hope your tickets cash, and I hope your wife plays some good tunes in the passenger seat, my friend. Thanks for hanging out.
All right. My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Did you know that it's proven that attractive people tend to like hot, spicy food? Yes, it's true. Hot people like hot food. Introducing 5-Hour Energy's new Spicy Cinco de Mango. This little shot is sweet, spicy, and a tad unhinged. Just like your favorite party guest. It hits with a bold chili flavor, then smooths things out with that juicy mango kick. Honestly, I tried it the other day, and wow, it brought the heat and the hype. Total game changer. Research even says more than half of spicy food fans think they're hot. And you know what? They're not wrong. Hot people like hot food. Get your spice on with 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango. Think you're hot? Prove it with this spicy mango shot. And yes, it even comes with hot sauce. Turn up the heat this Cinco de Mayo or any day, because life's too short for bland. You're hot. Your energy shot should be too. Get energized. Get spicy. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is here for you. 5-Hour Energy Spicy Cinco de Mango is only available online for a limited time. Head to 5hourenergy.com to order yours today.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.